Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing? This is Coach Wood, Terrence Wood with Before You Go Pro Locker Room Show. Super excited, as always, to get in front of all the listeners, whether it's a young aspiring football player, whether it's mom or dad, or whether it's just somebody that loves football and is supporting the company. We appreciate you being on the call tonight and listening into the show. We've got an exciting show tonight, and as always, we want to bring great content to the listeners. We want to bring stuff that's thought-provoking and things that, you know, is food for thought. You know, it's things, if I'm a young player, that I can learn from and use along my journey to become the best I can be. So we have, once again, another great show tonight. We want to thank Mr. Darren Shiverini for coming into the locker room last week. He lit it up. We had a great show with him. Unfortunately, that show was deleted, and we're trying to retrieve that now. I know a couple of you guys have asked about that show. That was an accidental delete, but we're working with Blog Talk Radio right now to get that show back up and running for all the listeners. Tonight's show is about the 2013-14 bowl season. As you guys know, college football has, as far as regular season, has come to an end, but everybody is anticipating and waiting for the bowl season. And the bowl season is very unique because if you just look on the surface of college football bowl games, you say, okay, it's to a certain degree, it's a way for everybody to have their last little piece of cake. It's the last little hurrah for the season. You come up with a championship at the end of the season or a champion at the end of the season, usually based off of a computer and some rankings. And from there, you know, you wait for what's going to happen next season. But this year is a little bit different. This year is a little bit different because I want to peel back some of the layers about college football bowl games. I want to let you guys know some of the angles and some of the different subplots that go into the college football bowl season. If you're a young player, I want you to be able to be wise if one day you have decisions about what schools to go to. Many recruits decide off of the college bowls. That's their final kind of nail in the coffin on their decision of what school they're going to attend for the next 4 to 5 years. So there's so many different subplots to college football bowl games. And one of them this year is the fact that this is the last year that the college bowls will actually have the BCS system. And as many of you guys know, this is a system that took place in 1996. It is something that was created by the NCAA committee. And basically, once again, it kind of ruled on the fact that there were computer rankings and, you know, whether or not we had undefeated teams, it could go up in the air on which teams would get to play for the championship game. But that's all changing next year. Next year, the NCAA is going to a playoff system, a four-team playoff system for the first time ever at the Division I-A level. This is something that people have been fighting for a while, especially if they ever felt that their team got burned. One year, there was, as a matter of fact, my senior year, there was a little bit of a wonder on whether or not we should go to the national championship game. 9-2 with a 10-2 record, or if Nebraska should go and we just beat them in a big Big 12 North championship game, or if Oregon should go with a 10-1 record to the national championship game to play the University of Miami, who was undefeated at the time. And it all boiled down to points and a computer, and eventually Nebraska won out, and they got to play in a national championship game and got killed. And at the end of the season, everybody thought that Oregon maybe should have been the team that got to play in that game. Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Next year, once again, we have a 4-team playoff, and this is something that is going to be truly exciting. It's something that has never happened before in college football. And the way it's going to work is that there is a 6-bowl game system. And the big bowls are still a part of the system, the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. But there's going to be 3 undetermined bowls that will play part in this playoff system. Once these bowl games are played, then there's a committee, a selection committee of 12 people, with people like Tom Osborne, Oliver Luck, who's the athletic director at West Virginia, and is Andrew Luck's father, the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, Condoleezza Rice, Archie Manning, and many other people are a part of this committee. And after these 6 bowl games are played, this committee is going to pick which teams get to play in the 4-team playoff system to determine the national champion. Now, the interesting thing about this new system that the NCAA will be moving towards in 2014 is that, to a certain degree, I believe it's the start of eliminating the NCAA from the whole picture. And what is going to happen is, once these 4 teams are selected, the 2 teams that win and play in the national championship game, that will be actually not considered a bowl game. That will be a national championship game that will be headed up by all the conferences, and the NCAA will have nothing to do with it. So the location of that game next year, the national championship game, will be chosen and bidded upon just like the Super Bowl is. Cities will have the opportunity to bid for the national championship game. And once again, it will be something that will be totally exclusive and separate from the NCAA. And what it's moving towards is possibly a point in time where conferences and schools, govern themselves, and the NCAA is null and void. So that's an interesting plot to this year's bowl season, is the fact that this will be the last year ever that we will have the BCS system as we know it. Another interesting plot, and this is one thing that you guys, I want you to understand, is that, you know, people think bowl games, they think exciting matchups between teams that usually never play, but then they also think all the dollars that are being spread. But dollars are being spread between many different parties. And one of the parties that definitely has its eyes on possible dollars, possible financial gains, is obviously the coaches involved in these bowl games. There are coaches that are looking to possibly get an upgrade in their job situation. There are coaches that may be understudies. They may be assistants or offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and they would love an opportunity to show what their team can do in a bowl game and to maybe get a head coaching job at a smaller school. So there are so many layers to the college football bowl season. And once again, those are the things that we're going to kind of peel back for everybody tonight listening. For example, the University of Auburn is kind of the darling of the national championship game this year. Florida State and Auburn are playing in the BCS national championship game. Once again, this is the last game that's a BCS national championship game as we know it. So they are playing in that game and they're actually going to play it at the Rose Bowl on January 6th. And Auburn, somewhat of a darling, a national sweetheart for that game because of the way they got there. Nobody expected Auburn to make it and get past the daunting SEC conference. Everybody thought it was going to be Alabama once again. But Auburn found a way to manage to get to the national championship game. And when you have an unexpected kind of rise to college football superstardom, everybody gets a little bit of the piece of the pie. You know, there were players that were awarded college football awards because of the season that Auburn had. Their coach was awarded a new contract because of the year they had. Currently, I believe, let's see, they're either 10-1 or 11-1. And once again, this is a team that didn't even go to a bowl game last year. So nobody expected kind of this rise to college football infamy that the Auburn Tigers were able to pull off this year. But everybody kind of got their back patted because of the recent success. And when you take your team from unexpected success to a national championship game, a national championship game that's going to pay the Auburn Tigers $18 million, of course, the coach and the coach's assistant are going to get a little piece of that pie. And for Gus Malzahn, who is the coach of the Auburn Tigers, his pay raise went actually from a little bit over $1 million, about $1.5 million, from $2.3 million a year to $3.8 million. And then his salary escalates another $250,000 a year as long as he stays with the program. So that's a great, great pay raise. Once again, a pat on the back for a coach getting his team in a primetime bowl game. A primetime bowl game, you guys, is going to bring tremendous exposure to the university. You know, they say that universities, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a pretty hefty percentage as far as how many new enrollees they have trying to get into their school, prospective enrollees, after they're in a big national championship game. Schools like Alabama have not been sore for enrollment the last 3 years. And it's because of the exposure. It's because of the heightened TV exposure, you know, all of the social networking behind these games, the sponsorship. There's a lot that goes into these games, which kind of feeds the funnel as far as the money that gets pumped into these universities. Now, don't make any mistake about it. Not all universities make big money during the college bowl season. And once again, we want to peel back those layers because a lot of times we get our eggnog and we get, you know, a piece of turkey and we sit back and watch the games and we don't really think about the game within the game. Once again, there's coaches that are trying to strategize their future, their family's futures. There's schools that are trying to reap the benefits of heightened exposure. There's players on the field that are trying to decide whether or not this is going to be their college football send-off, whether or not it's time to try their hand in the NFL. And we'll definitely talk about that as well. And as we know, and many of the kids that are listening in, I know you guys are college hopefuls, or maybe you just got to college, but I know a lot of you guys look to see what type of talent is at certain schools. And many recruits base decisions off of what they see during bowl games. I know I did. So the bowl season, once again, has so many compartments, so many nooks and crannies that go along with it. I have a mother-in-law that is a director of sales at Hilton Hotel. And she used to work very, very close to where the Rose Bowl was played every year. And every year we would talk over which teams were going to play in the Rose Bowl because she knew it would have a direct effect on sales. And she never wanted schools that, you know, didn't travel well. If you got a school like Wisconsin or Ohio State, it was bread and butter because you knew those schools would be packing out the hotel. So it's not just the players on the field or the people behind the television cameras or in front of the television cameras that have their hands in the bowl game money pot. It's also local businesses, it's hotels, you know, it's big corporate sponsors. There's a lot going on. Alumni are schmoozing. There's a lot about to take place within this next week. And a matter of fact, we have our very first bowl game taking place Saturday, December 21st. So we're right around the corner from the New Mexico Bowl, which has Colorado State and Washington State. And there's so many bowls nowadays. I think, you know, we're talking about over 40 bowls. You know, when I was playing, it wasn't that many. But there are so many bowl games out there nowadays. And part of the reason is because it's just a chance to do business. It's a chance for sponsorships, to companies to get their names out through sponsorships. It's a chance to throw another alumni party where we can raise money. It's a chance to get our school on TV just one more time before the football season ends. So, once again, not all of these bowl games are big highlight bowl games. And some of these teams, I'm looking at the R plus L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Tulane versus Louisiana Lafayette. Not too many people going to watch that game. But you know what? It means everything to those seniors on that team and maybe to some of those juniors on that team that want to make a name for themselves going into their senior year. It's everything for that coach, that young team that never gets any publicity, that finally has his school on ESPN and on national television. So the bowl season is huge for so many people. I actually, as you know, we have a young kid in Aaron Criswell who is Before You Go Pro alum. I don't know if Aaron's listening tonight, but if you are, buddy, shout out to you and good luck to you and the bowl game that you're going to be playing in. Matter of fact, he's playing on January 1st. And it's cool because he's going to have an opportunity to play in the Cotton Bowl, which is in Dallas. And that's a beautiful venue to play a bowl game, you know. And a matter of fact, it's called the Heart of Dallas Bowl, North Texas versus UNLV, January 1st. Dallas, Texas, and the Cotton Bowl. And that's on ESPNU. So everybody, we're rooting on Aaron Criswell. And if you guys get a chance, check out that bowl game. But there, once again, are just so many different subplots to everything going on. One of the things that is so huge is, once again, the local money raised for some of these bowl games. The Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl in San Francisco raises $12 million to $13 million a year, and a predominant portion of that money goes to feeding homeless people and people who need an extra meal in their life. So, you know, just really, really some good causes going on with these bowl games. Now, I also want to give you guys a little bit of an insight to how it all goes down with these bowl games, because actually I've been fortunate enough in my life to play in three bowl games. One of them was the Honolulu Bowl, which was actually on Christmas Day, my redshirt freshman year at the University of Colorado, and we played the University of Oregon. I also played in the EatInsight.com Bowl in 1999, and unfortunately I was hurt, torn hamstring, but our team made it, and that was in Tucson, Arizona, versus Boston College. And last but not least, a BCS game. So I do have a BCS, some experience under my belt, and I kind of can testify or let you guys in on what that whole process is like and what a week is like at a BCS bowl game. And that was in 2002, the Fiesta Bowl. and we got drilled, the University of Colorado, by Oregon that day. So I'm going to give you guys a little insight to what it's actually like to be at a college football bowl game from the other side of the table as a player. Once again, these games are about to start in a little less than a week now, and, you know, sit back and enjoy the last little hurrah for college football season, and it's sure to probably be pretty exciting and a fun watch for you guys. Now, what I also want to talk about are some of the players. And the college bowl season for the guys that are on the team, like I said, maybe some of the seniors or some of the juniors that may be considering leaving, this is a critical time, very critical time. There are people trying to get a hold of these young players right now. When you look at a young player like a Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, or a wide receiver like Sammy Watkins out of Clemson, you know, these are premier phenom athletes that everybody knows is going to play in the NFL one day. It's just a question of when. And during this time when it's kind of the in-between stage, you're taking finals, although, you know, I'll be truthful with you guys, some of these guys could probably care less about finals right now. But if you're taking finals or if you know, you're finishing up, you know, some different things up at school with your training, maybe right before you go home, say hello to the family real quick before the holidays, then you're off to the site of the bowl game. For some of these premier players, this is a very, very interesting time. For one, they're having a dilemma. They may be at odds between the fact of whether or not I come back for another year of college ball or whether I try to live out my dream and go to the NFL. And they have a lot of people telling them different things. Now, all of the juniors that are considered top players, they request basically an evaluation from the NFL at the end of the bowl season where the NFL will report back to them and give them an evaluation on where they're projected to be drafted. Now, that doesn't always hold true, but it gives somebody that's considering foregoing a senior year or maybe even a junior year if they're a redshirt sophomore of college, it gives them an opportunity to get a feel for where they'll go in the NFL. Now, they're going to hear all kinds of things, whether it's from family, whether it's from agents that are trying to pursue them, whether it's from the media as far as how good they are and whether or not they should pursue an NFL career at this time. But they also have to manage the fact that they're not in the NFL yet, and they better play good their last game or potential last game of college or all of it's a moot point anyway, you know, because nobody wants to go out if they have a choice. Nobody wants to go or try to go to the next level after a terrible game. So a lot of these guys are looking at this last or potential last game as an evaluation game on whether or not they're ready to go on. When you look at a game like, you know, there's so many premier games that are coming up, but when you look at the Orange Bowl with teams like Clemson and Ohio State, you know, that field is going to be littered January 3rd with NFL scouts and NFL player personnel looking at all the talent that Ohio State and Clemson has to offer. Because I can tell you, I watched my fair share of college football this year, you guys, and both of those teams got big-time talent. There's plenty of games that, excuse me, aren't the national championship game, but there's going to be big-time talent on the field. So this is a very interesting time for many of the top players in the country right now because, once again, they don't know if they should continue to stay an amateur or if they should become a pro. And plenty of players have made terrible decisions becoming pro too early. So, you know, this is once again, this is all the subplots that are about to to come out and hold true during this 2013-2014 bowl season. So let me tell you a little bit about how it all kind of unfolds when your team plays in a college football bowl. So obviously, you know, there's a selection show, and for the most part, at the end of the college football season, you know where your team is going to end up to a certain degree. And my senior year, we had won the Big 12 championship. That was 2001. We had beaten the University of Texas and played at Texas Stadium. And we knew, for the most part, we were probably going to end up in the Fiesta Bowl. And this was the 2002 Fiesta Bowl, and it was January 1st. I remember it like it was yesterday. And this is a big-time bowl game. You know, BCS Bowl, it gets a lot of attention, whether it's from ESPN or from all of the television sponsor spots and the radio and the commercials. So it's a big-time bowl game. When you play in a BCS Bowl, you know you're going to be playing another great team with great talent. Our team was pretty cocky because we had just come off of a big win against Nebraska, who was ranked number one in the country at the time, and then we came off of another big win against the University of Texas, who most anticipated to play Miami in the national championship. So our team was a little cocky, to say the least. And I don't think we fully prepared, if I was really candid with you guys, as well as we could have as a team or individually for our BCS game versus the University of Oregon. And as I told you earlier in this locker room show, because we keep it real in the locker room and we're always truthful in the locker room, we got drilled and we deserve to get drilled. Joey Harrington was the University of Oregon quarterback at the time, and because of the game he had against us, once again, a bowl game can be a launch pad for some players. Because of the bowl game he had against us, Joey Harrington was the number three overall pick in the NFL draft in 2002. And a lot of that, you guys, was based off of the bowl game he had against us. Many players on that University of Oregon team got increased financial reward because of the bowl game they had against us back in 2002 in the Fiesta Bowl. So for some of these players, you know, the evaluation, the draft evaluation process definitely has already been begun. As soon as you get to college, you're in the system, and NFL scouts know about you. But the evaluation heightens during the bowl season, and then it carries into the off season with the whole draft process and the combine. But the launch pad for some of these players or the start of their demise is going to be this 2013-2014 bowl season. So I know all of you guys are big-time football fans and you guys are waiting for the games. Once again, you're going to be with loved ones. It's getting close to Christmas, and definitely wish you guys all a Merry Christmas from before you go pro. But as you sit back, I want you guys to think about all the different layers that play part in the 2013-2014 college football bowl season. Last but not least, we're going to talk about the recruiting process, because I know many of you guys, that's why you're on the call. That's why you listen to the locker room shows, because you guys all eventually would want to be blessed with the opportunity to have a college football scholarship, you know, to be a student athlete at a major university. So, you know, with the recruiting, a lot of people would assume that, hey, you know, because some teams need talent and they're not playing in a bowl game, they're probably doing extra recruiting when everybody else is getting ready for the bowl game to try to get a leg up on the competition. And the NCAA actually prevents that. The rules state that there's a dead period during the college football bowl season. So all of the recruits that are within the recruiting battle right now, and they're hearing from multiple college teams. All of that kind of comes to a halt within the next week because they don't want any college to have an unfair advantage. Whenever a college team gets accepted to a bowl game, they're at the bowl site for a week, and they're doing festivities. They're doing different things with the team that they're playing against. There's obviously an opportunity to practice and get to see what some of the younger kids look like to prepare early for the following season, the next season. So whenever a team gets accepted into a bowl game, you guys, there's a whole week-long process or week-long commitment that team fulfills to that bowl committee, to that bowl site. So many of these teams, you know, they fly their families out, and it's a nice time for a family to come out. I've got friends that are coaching, and one friend is in Boise, Idaho, and his wife probably isn't too happy. But, you know, I've got another friend that's coaching out in Hawaii, and that's always a nice present at the end of the year for the family, you know, because they get to come out as well. But there are no unfair advantages during the bowl season as far as recruiting, as far as trying to attract talent. Once again, there's stipulations as far as a dead period where colleges can go after kids. But make no mistake about it, these kids are sitting back and they're evaluating which school they want to go to. And sometimes kids have a tough decision, and that decision may end up really deciding on a bowl game. There's a total of 25 uncommitted kids that are top talent kids in about the top 30 to 40 kids in the country. So if you look at scout.com, which ranks all the top kids in the country, if you basically go down about 40 kids deep, the top 25 or scattered amongst the top 40, 25 of these kids are uncommitted. And then if you look at all of the schools that these kids are considering, these are schools that are playing bowl games. You know, top talent loves to follow top teams because top teams give you a top opportunity to play in the NFL one day. So, you know, make no mistake about it, some of these kids are literally sitting back with the clicker in their hand, the remote in their hand, going from game to game, and they're making decisions. And these college coaches know that. After the bowl season, the colleges get on the horn, and they're going hard after these recruits again. And if I'm Ohio State and I slaughter Clemson in our Orange Bowl, and I know we're going after the same kid, who do you think I'm going to call first after that Orange Bowl? I'm going to call the kid that's on the fence about my school or Clemson. And I'm going to say, hey, Tommy, did you see how we just slaughtered Clemson? So, you know, the bowl season is so influential when it comes to a recruiting standpoint. It is so influential for the future success of the team. Once again, some of these top-tier bowls, you know, you look at the BCS National Championship, $18 million per team, the Fiesta Bowl, $17 million per team, the Sugar Bowl, $17 million per team. And then you think about all the added sales from apparel or little knickknacks online, or if you think about the heightened increase in television exposure. It just feeds into kids' decisions, whether they're players or not, whether I'm trying to decide whether I want to go as a regular student to a school or be a student athlete. We all have decisions to make, and the more exposure I see from a school, and the more they make it look sexy and cool and just a place to be, the more I'm going to want to make sure that I attend. You know, so the exposure from these bowl games is so critical, once again, for these young athletes that are making these decisions and for these schools that are trying to woo these kids to their university. As far as the bowl games as a whole, I think in the end we will eventually move to a full-on playoff system where it won't obviously be an NCAA basketball tournament, but we'll have maybe 12 to 16 teams playing in a playoff system. And a lot of schools from the lower tiers were scared about that because they were thinking that college football would do away with the bowl system as a whole. I think that we'll always have somewhat of a bowl system to honor some of the teams that would never play in postseason play. But I really think this four-team playoff that once again starts in 2014, next year, is a move to a much larger playoff system. And once college football moves to a much larger playoff system where cities are bidding for the national championship game, I believe that you're not too far from really getting away from the whole amateurism deal. So, you know, college football has to be very careful as far as how far they go with, you know, the promotion of a full-on playoff system. Because then you have student athletes that are technically supposed to be amateurs. It's supposed to be students playing longer and longer seasons and drawing things out. Basically, you know, so that every cop body can make a buck and get a resolution to who's really the best team in the land from a college football standpoint. From the kids' standpoint that are actually players on the teams, you know, it's a cool chance, once again, to show what you got one more time before the year closes out. The kids actually get gifts, bowl gifts, and they get to see their loved ones fly on out and get to see them either in person or on TV one last time. But I really wanted to take the time, you guys, and hopefully that did draw a little bit more of a scope into what the bowl season is all about. You know, it's not just fun games at the end of the year with crazy names affiliated or corporate sponsorship names affiliated with them. There are people involved with these bowl games. There are so many subplots to these bowl games, whether it's the situation with the NCAA, the coaches that are trying to climb their way to the top, the schools that are trying to catch dollars out of the air that they weren't anticipating from a successful season, the players that are evaluating whether or not they should go to the NFL or maybe trying to make a name for themselves for the rest of their career in college, and the recruits who are trying to decide where they're going to spend the next 4 to 5 years of their life. There are so many different facets to the college football bowl season. So hopefully that provided a little bit more insight into what really goes on. There are so many people that work behind the scenes to pull these bowl games off in all the various cities, you know, everywhere from the Bronx, New York, to San Antonio, Texas. You know, they have bowl games all across the country. I wanted to highlight some of the ones that I thought were a little bit more intriguing or real good games with real good talent. One game, if you're a California person, that you definitely got to keep an eye on is the Fresno State USC Las Vegas Bowl. There's going to be a lot of California talent on the field, and even though that's not a premier game, you'll find some of those kids on Sunday for sure Fight Hunger Bowl is one that we always love to promote out here in the Bay Area because, once again, it's for a great cause to help feed hungry people, and they raise $12 to $13 million a year for that cause. And that game is going to have BYU versus Washington. It'll be interesting to see how Washington responds after losing Coach Sarkisian to the USC Trojans. So it's going to be interesting to watch that game. The Valero, once again, there's another big corporate name. Here's something that you guys always want to remember. Big corporate sponsors like Valero, Hyundai, Chick-fil-A, AT&T, you know, GoDaddy, these are all corporate sponsors for these bowl games. Corporate sponsors don't put down money unless there's an audience. And there is an audience when it comes to television for these bowl games. So that's why, and once again, they can have parties and get alumni and donors behind closed doors, you know. So there are definite perks to some of these corporate sponsors that attach their name to some of these bowl games. Capital One, Outback Bowl. You know, these are big name sponsors that are really, really putting money behind these big time bowl games. So the Valero Alamo Bowl, Oregon versus Texas, that's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be interesting to see how Oregon responds after thinking they were going to have a chance at the national championship. Then it's also going to be interesting to see how Texas responds after losing Coach McAvitt. Coach Brown, Coach McAvitt's their old coach, but Coach Mack Brown. So that's going to be a big one. Alabama versus Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl is going to be interesting because Alabama has probably got they're probably sucking on their thumb a little bit after thinking they were going to play in the national championship game as well. Already highlighted the Discover Orange Bowl with Clemson and Ohio State. And then, obviously, the big one, national championship game with Florida State and Auburn. So, you know, there's a lot on the line, once again, in this year's college bowl season. I hope you guys sit back and enjoy. I hope you guys enjoy tonight's locker room show. And I definitely want to wish all to you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas. We will have a show on the 19th, which is Thursday, and we will actually, that will be a special show because we will have a new host for that show, and I will let you know who that's going to be a little bit later, but somebody that has experience in media background and somebody that has definitely been influential as far as Before You Go Pro goes. So I will have a fill-in for the show on Thursday the 19th. We will have a very special guest for you in former NFL linebacker Brian Iwu. And then we will take off the week leading into Christmas. So we won't have a locker room show on the 24th, Christmas Eve, or on the 27th. Or excuse me, the 26th. So just want to keep you guys up to date. Obviously, check out our website, www.beforeyougopro.com. It's a great website where you can get more content about our fight, our mission, and you can even see some of the team members that are really helping kids every day to try to live out their dreams and eventually receive a college scholarship one day. We also launched the book. We have it in ebook format, and we're pre-selling the paperback book, autographed copies of the paperback book. So you can find all that stuff on www.beforeyougopro.com. Once again, have a fabulous evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see you at the top.